Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our gospel reading from Mark chapter 5. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you have sent down your Holy Spirit on Sarah today through the gift of baptism, so send your Holy Spirit to each of us this day as we meditate on your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty have fallen. This was the lament of David at the death of Saul and Jonathan in our Old Testament reading today. How the mighty have fallen. We use this expression to describe the often dramatic decline of a once great political leader or empire or sports person or team or celebrity or something like that. How the mighty have fallen. From the Romans to the Persians, from Barnaby Joyce to Bill Clinton, Lance Armstrong to Tiger Woods, Mel Gibson to Martha Stewart, the Queensland State of Origin rugby team last week to the poor old West Coast Eagles last night. How the mighty have fallen. If the Bible details the rise and fall of people like Saul and Jonathan, which it does, it details all the more the fall and rise of ordinary people like you and I and the two mentioned in today's gospel reading. The humble people, the meek people, the downtrodden, the down and out, who come to Jesus in great need and end up going home with far more than they bargained on. So first we learn how the mighty have fallen and do fall. But secondly, we learn how the humble are lifted up. So just 2 points for today. For those who are getting tired of 3 points, just two. Might divide one of them in two, actually. No. How the mighty fall and how the humble are lifted. How the mighty fall and how the humble are lifted. So the gospel reading begins with this large crowd around Jesus, and it's a scene we've seen before. A large crowd pressing on him, wanting his attention. And in the midst of this crowd, there is one man, Jairus, who comes and falls at the Lord's feet. Jairus is an educated man. He's a wealthy man. He's a leader in the synagogue. He's a mighty man in many ways, like Saul, like Jonathan, a leader of men, a strong man. And yet today, something has brought him to his knees. There is something that all his money and all his education and all his strength and wisdom cannot do for him. Cannot do for him. His daughter is gravely ill. We would say terminally ill. And there is nothing Jairus can do about it. My little daughter is dying, he says. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jairus is falling. Jairus is desperate. He's in despair. And that brings him to his knees before Christ. How the mighty have fallen. At least for Jairus, he's falling in the right direction. At least for Jairus, he's falling towards one who can help him. Jairus has come to the right place. More on Jairus in a minute. You know, there are other people in this text who are strong people or at least respected people, good people we might even think, but people who in this context are falling as well. We get the messengers who come from Jairus' house and tell Jairus without much compassion, your daughter is dead. Stop bothering Jesus anymore, it's too late. We get the mourners at the house when Jesus arrives who laugh at Jesus, who assume in the face of death, this guy has no hope. No hope. They laugh at him. We get the disciples, who don't exactly cover themselves in glory today either. When the woman comes up behind and touches Jesus and he wants to know who that was, they think he's on a wild goose chase. They dismiss him. Look at the crowds. You'll never find her. You'll never find her. They see busyness, they see a hassle, they see a crowd, they see inconvenience, They see people getting in their way. They don't see what Jesus sees. One person somewhere in that crowd in desperate need. One person who has thought enough of Christ to come and touch his clothing so that she might be healed. How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty do fall. Saul, Jonathan, Jairus, the messengers, the mourners, the disciples. How the mighty fall. How those in positions of power or trust or responsibility, how those in positions of fame or wealth or privilege often show themselves unworthy of such and often unaware of how good they have it and often unaware of the plight of those around them. How quickly their time at the top can come to an end. How the mighty have fallen. Of course, we're not exempt, are we? We're not immune. How we fall as well. We might not consider ourselves mighty, right? We might not consider ourselves rich or famous or anything like that, but we are just as prone to falling as any of these people. When we lack compassion, like the messengers, when we lack perspective like the disciples, when we lack gratitude like the crowds, when we lack sincerity like the mourners, then we too find ourselves falling. But notice there are two ways you can fall. There are two ways. Adam and Eve back in Genesis fell away from God and wanted to hide from him. Jairus falls towards God and knows that he's the only one who can really help him. Every human being falls in sin, but not every human being falls in repentance before their Lord. Every human being experiences need, we all do, but not every human being brings those needs to God. There are two ways in which we can fall, into ourselves or into him, into despair or into Christ. Think of two men who have fallen from grace in the past year, Stephen Smith and David Warner. Forget about Bancroft, everyone else seems to have. All right, Steve Smith, David Warner, two people who would have been considered mighty in the eyes of the Australian public, right? Great cricketers. Mighty ones, strong ones, fallen from grace. Now, you might remember at the time of the ball tampering scandal, when the whole thing sort of happened, that they each had a press conference afterwards. They each had a press conference and they each gave a public apology. They each talked through what had happened, and so the media and the public all knew. Now, at that time, those two press conferences were received very differently by the Australian public. One was considered to be genuinely sorry, repentant, humbled by what had happened. That was Steve Smith. The other, Davey Warner, people wondered, is he really sorry? Does he really care? Has he really changed? Now, it's not up to us to judge, although we do, but it's not really our place. But you can see the point. There are different ways of falling. Does our falling leave us over here in pride and actual rejection that there really is anything wrong? Or does it lead us to humility, repentance, genuine sorrow over who we are? There are different ways that we can fall, different directions we can fall in. How the mighty have fallen. The question is not whether or if we fall, but how and to whom we fall. So how the mighty fall, but secondly, how the humble are lifted up. And if you think that first one is a theme throughout Scripture, you should see how often that second one comes up. I'll just give you a quick couple examples. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. James 4, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Luke 1, he has brought down rulers from their thrones but has lifted up the humble. We can look at the whole Sermon on the Mount goes through this theme. The first will be last and the last will be first. It's everywhere in Scripture. It's everywhere. everywhere how the mighty fall, but how the humble are lifted up. And in Mark 5 today, we see it happening. We see this in action with these two people in desperate need who come to Jesus. We see Jesus stepping over or past or around the proud and towards to help the needy and the humbled. Firstly, the woman. She's been suffering from bleeding for 12 long years. She's been shamed. She's been shunned from her community, no doubt. She's spent all her money on physicians who have only made her situation worse. You notice she doesn't dare approach Jesus from the front. What does she do? She goes around behind. She sneaks up. She's ashamed. She feels unworthy. She has this kind of almost magical or superstitious idea about who Jesus is. You know, if I just touch him, the power will come into me. So maybe her theology is not completely straight, right? But she's falling in the right direction. She's heading to the right person, the only person who can truly help her. She's come to the right place. And Jesus, sensing that power has gone out from him, eventually finds her and catches her gaze and speaks to her the most kind and gentle words perhaps she's ever heard over those 12 long years of suffering. Daughter, it's a term of endearment. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Her touch expressed her need. It expressed her desperation. His words expressed his healing and his peace, his kindness to her. She reminds us that whatever our major needs in this life, we can bring them to him and we can hope and trust and believe that he's capable of helping us with them. Chrysostom once said, though she was bound by her affliction, yet her faith had given her wings. Though she was bound by her affliction, yet her faith had given her wings. See, it's not Red Bull that gives you wings. It's faith in the Son of God. Faith in the Son of God. You know, while she was shunned and ashamed and lacking confidence and lacking health and lacking almost everything, yet her faith, her willingness to throw her lot in with Christ, gave her wings, gave her confidence, allowed her to approach him at least. Now, while all this is going on in the midst of the crowd, the midst of the busyness, Jesus is actually trying to get somewhere. Remember, he's on his way to Jairus' house, to another daughter who is in deep need, still waiting, dying, or as the messengers say, already dead. Already dead. Notice that her need is not brought to Jesus personally, but it's brought to him by someone else, by an intermediary, by her father, Jairus. It's important for us to realize that many people, for many reasons, including their age or their health or their level of understanding or their level of education or their physical ability or their mental capacity or their social opportunity, or all sorts of reasons, cannot bring their own needs to God. And that's where we come in. We are the intermediaries. We are the go-betweens. We are the people between him and them who can speak his words of kindness and compassion to them and can bring their needs to him in prayer. Andy and Joey today have given us an example of this in bringing Sarah here to be baptized. A humble child, right? A meek one more than a mighty one. A little one who God deeply loves. How did she come here today? She didn't come by herself on her own two little legs, right? She was brought here. Her needs were brought before God because she couldn't do it by herself, because she doesn't know how much she needs it yet and how important it is. One day she will, because her parents will teach her about it and her godparents will talk to her about it. And the church will talk to her about it. But at this point in her life, like the little girl lying there suffering, she needs an intermediary. She needs a link person. She needs a helper to bring her needs before the Heavenly Father. It's our task then as she grows up, and Andy and Joey's task as she grows up, to talk to her about that and teach her about that. Just as I'm sure Jairus and Mrs. Jairus right? Talk to their little girl about what happened to her that important day when Jesus Christ walked into town and came to their house and met her in her need. How the humble are lifted up, and how nothing is ever the same again once they have been. Jesus says to Jairus in the midst of his fear, Jesus says to us as intermediaries, as link people, he says, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear the worst, but believe the best. You have come to the right place. You have fallen in a good direction. You know, when you come here to church even, you're not just here for yourselves, right? You're here for every person you know with every need that you know of. That's why you're here, to bring those needs before the Heavenly Father so that He can help you and He can help you to help them. You're the go-betweens. It's a special role. It's an important role. And Jesus says to you in that role, do not fear, just believe. Do not fear, just believe. Jesus goes to the girl's house and He takes with Him Peter, James and John, and He invites in the girl's mum and dad, but He tells the rest of them to stay outside. Right, this isn't for show. I'm not trying to prove anything to you today. I'm not trying to, you know, impress you or get your interest. This is about faith and healing for those in need. And so He takes that little girl by the hand and He says to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl gets up and begins to walk. Don't say it can't happen, right? This or anything else for that matter, this healing or any other healing, this miracle or any other miracle, here it is, Jesus meeting the needs of real people. You know, with human beings, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Rich. God has a special interest in lifting up the humble, helping the downcast, meeting the needs of the needy, filling with riches the impoverished. Today He has made Sarah rich, rich in His grace, rich through the waters of baptism. And He's made Andy and Joey rich today as well, in having little Sarah and in knowing that little Sarah is not just their child, but is His child as well. And today He makes you rich also. Rich through the greatest miracle of life over death, of falling and rising that the world has ever known or ever can know. Through His own life and death and resurrection. His poverty is your richness. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the riches You bring to our life through Christ our Lord. Help us to come to Him in each and every need and to believe and to trust that He is far more capable to help us than we sometimes realize. Thank You for the blessing of holy baptism, for the blessing of Your Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The work that You have begun in little Sarah's life this day. We commend her and ourselves into Your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.